Assim.
Thank you, Brother James. And we'll say just good evening to everyone. We were studying today, me and Brother James, and of course Brother Jeb, a few other brothers, Brother David Barry Hill, and Brother Jerry Anson, Brother Luke is in that group. And Brother James says, I hope we didn't, because we were going back and forth today, reading and studying on the scriptures that he had, and he was worried that that maybe hopefully he didn't throw a wrench into what I had on my mind for tonight. And I don't think dwelling on the scriptures could ever throw a wrench into that. It might change our mind, or if the Spirit lead us, it might change where we are. And I said, well, I thought I was pretty set on what I thought I wanted to talk about. And as we got a little closer to time, it seems like the Lord was leading me somewhere else. And I know nobody ever likes to hear preachers explain the thought process, but just to assure God's people that the Spirit is still leading his ministers, you know, and we do well to follow the leadership, the Spirit, and those things. And of course, I was going one other way, and then Lord and the Spirit led me that the two things I had on my mind separate kind of came together in the end. And I find that amazing. So many times as we study and think on these things, how the Spirit, God, works that out and leads us to. But Lord, be our helper tonight. I want to talk and really dwell on the love of God. Of course, that's a big topic. We won't cover it all tonight, and I don't know if I ever could. I think his love passes the all knowledge that we could have, and maybe one day we'll know it perfectly when we all gather together in glory land. But as far as tonight goes, it's good to dwell on. It's good to think on the love of God. If you have your Bibles, and I'm sure most of you do, and I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 22. And if we come down to verse 36 of Matthew 22, we'll find where Jesus has put to silence the Sadducees, and the Pharisees decide they want some of that too. So they were astonished at his doctrine. It says in verse 33, the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, and they were gathered together. It says they got the Sadducees, but we're gonna give our shot, you know. And the Pharisees thought them superior to the Sadducees. He says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, now, you know, it's always good, I believe, to come to a throne of grace and come to Jesus Christ in a sincere heart, and asking questions, and I believe he's faithful to answer those. But these brethren here weren't doing that at a sincere heart. They were doing these things to try to trap our Lord and Savior, as they often did. And I believe some of the brethren this weekend explained this probably better than I could, and went into detail on how they tried to trap our Lord and his saying, but they usually ended up making a fool of themselves. He says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's wonderful to think on these things. And from a common sense perspective, we could see how these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. You know, if we love and... First of all, if we're loving God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul, we're dwelling and keeping that at the forefront of our sight and the way we live and the way we work. And every morning when we wake up, we put those things in front of our mind that we won't transgress God's law. If we love our neighbors as ourselves, then half of those other commandments that we talk about, where we don't covet our neighbor, we don't commit adultery, all those things, we're going to, if we love in our neighbor as ourselves, we wouldn't do those things to ourselves. So we won't do that to others. And of course, we see the common sense aspect of these two commandments, how they fulfill the whole law. If you hold these two, then these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. But the focus I really want to go on into is when we turn over to John chapter 13. And John 13 and 34, we'll find that the Lord is speaking to his disciples here. John 13:34, we'll find that the Lord says, a new commandment I give unto you. Now, I you know, this is a new commandment. We just read the old commandment there, that where it says that we're to love our neighbor as thyself. But here Jesus Christ says, I give a new commandment. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now later in verse 14, Lord and Savior tells his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now this is one of the new commandment that he's given, is that we love one another. We're commanded to love one another. And, you know, the way, of course, 1 John 4:19 says, we love God because he first loved us. So we know that we're never going to, if we do have love, that's evidence. If we love God, that's evidence that he first loved us and we're one of his. But, you know, I believe while we live this whole life, and, you know, I would be pleasing to my father. And, you know, as a natural dad, if you wanted to please your natural father, well, you do what he tells you to. You show him the respect and the fear that a father deserves. And, of course, as a savior that we have, you want to show him you love him. He says to keep my commandments. I want my savior to know. I want to be able to show my savior that I love him, that I love him because of everything he's done for me, not in order to get him to love me back, because of everything and the love that he's already shown me. That's why I want to show my savior and my God that I love him. But here in verse 34, you know, I don't know what the difference is. You know, I've been trying to wrap my mind around that. You know, back over there in Matthew, it says that we're to love our neighbor as thyself. But here, God, Jesus Christ says we're to love one another as I have loved you. And that tells me right there that there's a difference in the way we love ourselves and the way God loved us. And I can't wrap my mind around that. And I don't know if I can explain all the ways that that's better. But I tell you what, it's better. The way Jesus loved us is better than we could love ourselves. I'm convinced of that. And this new commandment that he gives, he says that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You know, I'd like to dwell just a little bit while on the way Jesus Christ loved us. I start thinking about the state that we were in, how God loved us, how Jesus loved us. There was brethren that mentioned Isaiah 59 this weekend. And I believe in Isaiah 5, chapter 59, verse 1, it tells us about the state we were in. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Oh, the state that we were in, child, lost and dead in sins and trespasses. That's what separated us. That was the state we were in. There was nothing we could do on our own behalf to fill that gulf, to rectify that separation. If you go on down through Isaiah chapter 59, you'll just go and see how lowly and a picture of how depraved we were. It was a total depravity. We were totally depraved. But thanks be to God that we see down in verse 16 that God marveled. He says, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was glad with zeal as a cloak. Brother John Scott preached well on the right arm of God. I believe, if I'm remembering right, it was Brother John that preached that this weekend. We see that the state we were in, and it says that God, it says there was no man. There was no man. There was no man that could bring us back into the love of God that sin had separated us from. And therefore, God, he says, he wondered that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. I tell you, Jesus loved us when we were dead. He loved us while we were yet enemies with him. And then he sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and brought salvation unto him. You know, and I think on a song that my daddy used to like to sing, number 201, you know, there's a verse in Never Alone. It says, when the world's fierce winds are blowing, and temptation sharp and keen, it says, I feel a peace in knowing that my Savior stands between. When I think about the love of Jesus Christ, he was that intercessor. He was the one that stood between. Oh, he stood between God's wrath that was rightly just upon us. He took that upon himself. I think sometimes about Genesis 15:1, when God tells Abraham that I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know, I contemplate sometimes what a shield does. You know what a shield does? It stands between you and what would harm you. I think about this man that put on the helmet of salvation, this arm that brought unto salvation. You know, I'm reminded over Ephesians 6, where it says that we're to take up the shield of faith. You know, I think sometimes on that shield of faith, it says that we might that'll quench all the fiery darts of Satan, of the devil. You know, when we think that shield protects us, and that shield protects us from all those things that would hurt us. Jesus Christ was that intercessor. He was that shield. He protected us. He stood in between. He took on the wrath of God that was due us, and brought salvation unto us by that mighty arm. He did all of that while we were still yet enemies. Now that's a love there. But it says here, though, back over there in John 13, now that we're to love one another as he loved us. You know, that's something to strive for, but probably a harder thing to accomplish. I think about a Savior that stands between, that makes intercession for us. How oftentimes are our brothers and sisters in a state, you know, and they might not have the means or be in a state where they can't, or they can't, don't have the providential capability to provide for what they need. You know, this love that Jesus Christ had, he was a man of action. He didn't just sit up there on his throne high. No, he left his throne high and came to us. This is the example of how we're to love one another. I think about those things when we hear about those, and I exhort one another and applaud and thank God for the blessings of a lot of folks that are here on this that went to the Lord. You know, there's a lot of ways to intercede, you know, sometimes in love, you know, not that we could ever intercede the way Jesus Christ did, but when we're in need, we pray for one another. We go to the Lord in prayer. We beseech our Lord and Savior. We beseech our Father in heaven to offer up, to heal our brothers, to bless our brothers when they stand in need. I tell you what, when we do those things, we're loving like Christ loved us. You know, I see that picture of that love, and I'm amazed. And that's the example that's been set forth, to love one another as Christ has loved us. I contemplate, and I've been dwelling on the fellowship of the association that we had, what took place at the Amid Association and the coming together of those two associations, the weight of history and the blessings that we've seen this day are not lost on me. Sometimes I feel like that happens so fast that Brother James kind of said it. I don't know if we took time enough to appreciate the blessings that we have, that the fellowship, of course, we've been fellowshipping for years now, but for that to be erased was a beautiful thing. But when I think about how Christ loved us, I believe that applies not only as individuals, as brethren in Christ, but also as individual little flocks of the Church of Christ. I was reading today from Acts chapter 11. And, one of the criticisms I've heard sometimes from some folks is that we don't have scriptural authority for associations for doing those things. And I believe when certain things come up in the association, if ever association comes to where it's having its authority over individual churches and we're not respecting the autonomy of other churches, then, yeah, that's not a good thing from each church. But as I look, I think it was, I can't remember which brother it was today, that even though we might not have the word in scripture, the principle is there. And what we're based on and associated on is not, it's not by location, it's not by geography, but we're based and associated based on the principles of Christ. And we're of like mind and in unity and of one mind on those things. And as long as we're associated in those things, then there's nothing unbiblical about that. And I believe that over in Acts 11, we see a picture of that. In verse 11 of Acts chapter, verse 1 of Acts chapter 11, it says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him." Now we see already here that the brethren and apostles in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And of course, through here, we see that some of them took issue with Peter going, and they were uncircumcised. Those, of course, were talking about the brethren at Antioch that were up there who were Gentiles. Of course, these are the brethren at Judea who were Jews, and they contended with him by the circumcision. Then Peter goes through how God had revealed to him about not calling common and unclean that which I've cleansed, and that the Gentiles are not clean by the circumcision, but they're clean by the calling of God. We see as we read down through these verses that there's an association there. There's a back and forth between the brethren at Jerusalem and Judea and the brethren at Antioch. And it says, after this contention comes through and Peter has explained all these things to him, verse 18, he says, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Now you look at these brethren weren't associated by nationality. I'm sure there was differences in the way they did things up in Antioch and the way they did things down in definitely the way they did things down in Judea. I look at this was not based on association of geography either. You look at where Judea and Jerusalem was, and you look at where Antioch was. Antioch was up in Syria. Of course, Judea, Jerusalem was down in Judea, which was far to the south, and I had to get on that map and see what that. These brethren were not associated by nationality. They were not associated by geography. That what associated them was the love of Christ. And the love of Christ that dwelled in their heart, they shared with one another. We look at the back and forth between these two gatherings of God's people, the church, between Antioch and Judea. It says here, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying that God hath also given to the Gentiles greater repentance unto life. They rejoiced in the good things that were happening up at Antioch after Peter had preached the gospel to them and told them how God had revealed that to them. He says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travailed, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. We see that after that that persecution arose around Stephen down at Judea, that there was brethren there that were scattered, and they had went about preaching to the Jews only. But they had made it all the way up to Antioch. It says, and the hand of the Lord was with them in verse 21, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. It was a blessing of increase with the church, even between these two places. He says, then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they heard about the things that were going on at Antioch. They rejoiced in those things. And then they sent forth Barnabas that he would go, should go as far as Antioch. They heard about the good things that were happening. They heard about the meetings they were having up down there, up there in Antioch. And they sent Barnabas. They went and visited. I tell you what, I see the way the old Baptists are right now. I see a picture there that God's church hasn't changed. That we see that pattern there where each church, each local gathering of those churches are sharing love one another, rejoicing in the blessings of each church from one to another. Yes, sir, they're associated not by geography or nationality or accents. You know, my accent's gotten a lot different since I've been in South Louisiana. I tell you, I sometimes go back home to Mississippi, and I remember my Uncle Bill, before he passed away, he says, brother, you're starting to sound like one of them Cajuns down there. But when I come down here, everybody around here tells me, you're not from around here, are you? But I tell you what, when we talk about Christ, brother, I tell you what, we've got something that's more important, that we're associated together based on Christ, that's something that is solid and sound, and it spans geography, it spans nationalities. I tell you what, he has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. But I see a beautiful picture here in Acts 11 of an association of churches. Yes, sir, it might not say an association of two churches, but I tell you what the principle is there. And what is the principle is here is they're sharing the love and rejoicing in what God has done in each location for them, that he's blessing the brethren up at Antioch, they're blessing the brethren down in Judea. And I tell you what, when we come together on this Zoom service, I tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ, I tell you what, I want to hear about the blessings that are going on in your local, in your areas. I tell you what, because that is praise to God that his love is being shed forth. His blessings are upon us, people. I want to rejoice with you, brother. I tell you what, when I hear about those things, it makes me want to go visit with you, brother. I want to be in those things. As we've talked about this association that we had with this Zoom service, as wonderful as it is, technology that we have where we can record and we can record singing and we can hear it and we can record preaching and hear that thing. I tell you what, there's just something that can't be replicated, and it's called the Spirit of God moving amongst his people when we're together in worship, assembling ourselves just as they did since the days of Christ did. Oh, it says there that the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all. I tell you what, that's the example I'm having here today. And tell brother, I'm just trying to exhort you, encourage you, and thank God for the visitation and the fellowship we have. This is a pattern that's been going on since the church of God was established by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody tell you that there's something unbiblical about our associations and churches. Yeah, there's some things. If you take the devil's in the ditches, you take the things too far one way or the other, that's where the devil is. But I tell you what, when you stay right down the middle, walking down the line of our using the example of the Spirit, scriptures and all of that, there's nothing unbiblical about those things, about these things. And it says in verse 26, and he says, and when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now look at this in verse 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. You see that? The love Jerusalem had sent to Antioch. Now they've come and there's going to be a dearth, a famine throughout the land down in Judea. So the brethren from Antioch are sending down to Jerusalem to that church. Oh, they're showing that love, how God loved us. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus Christ didn't just say, I love you, but he showed, I love you. I tell you what, brethren, we can call her, let me see if I can get these words right in my mind, at least anyway. You know, an association is only good as the love that we show to one another, the fellowship we have one to another. Just saying that we're an association for the sake of an association is, you know, there's no benefit to that. But I tell you what, we're associated based on what the two churches here are showing us in chapter 11, showing that love of Christ, loving one another, sending one another. When they had necessity, when they had no way to provide for themselves, I tell you what, we sent one to another. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. When we couldn't do anything for ourselves, he did those things for us. I tell you what, brethren, that's the example that we have here amongst churches. If we're going to be associated one to another, you know, I think it would be a shame, brothers and sisters in Christ, and I exhort you to this, that if the only time we associated one another was once every weekend out of the month, and I think there's no use for that association, brethren. But I tell you what, we need to be fellowshipping one another. And I hope I'm talking to myself just as much as anybody here. I hope that I'm able to travel more. I hope and pray and going to try to work harder to send unto the churches that stand in need of things. I think of the small churches. You know, so many times I've heard, you know, the Lord's church, our little group of followers here in Kenner, Louisiana. You know, one of the things, and if I can just speak my heart today, it's always served me well when I speak what the Lord's laid on my heart to do. One of the things that when I came and was called as their pastor, one of the things that concerned them is they felt isolated down in Kenner. You know, it's probably the southernmost church of the Amid Association. As a matter of fact, it is. It is the southernmost church of the Amid Association. They kind of felt isolated down there. Now, I've exhorted them. I said, brother, if you want to have company, you got to be company. You know, my grandpa taught me that. Brother Oscar taught us that. So many brethren have been examples of that. But we need to be mindful, brothers and sisters of Christ, that our churches, you know, sometimes they do feel isolated. And if we're going to be associated, we need to be checking on one another throughout the year. I tell you what, that's the example we have as brethren and sister in Christ individually. I believe that's an example we have here in chapter 11 of our churches. We need to be checking on one another because that's what Jesus Christ, that's how he loved us. He didn't just leave us down here alone. He didn't forsake us. He never forsake us. He said he never leave us alone. That's the example here. That's how he's telling us to love one another. We're not just supposed to be meeting together, you know, once a year. We're supposed to be spreading that love and checking on one another every year. I see that beautiful picture here in chapter 11 between these two churches, and what an encouragement it is for that. You know, one of the greatest, I believe, tools of the devil, and I'm not the first one to say this, won't be the last, but it's worth repeating again. One of the greatest, one of those arrows that he fires at the child of God sometimes, and thanks be to God, we have a shield that's standing in between. We have that shield of faith, but it's that you're all alone. You know, he'll do that to the church. They said, you know, I've confessed that the brethren here at Bethlehem have said, you know, they felt alone within the association. They felt isolated down here sometimes. You know, I don't believe that's of God, and I don't believe that was necessarily the case, but I tell you what, when you isolate it and you feel that way, that's how you feel sometimes. But isn't it wonderful that Jesus Christ says he'll never forsake us and never leave us. He'll never leave us alone. But in that same sense, as Christ loved us and that he'll never forsake us, he's always there with us. Isn't it wonderful to know that your brothers and sisters are there with you too? If we're loving one another as Christ loved us, then we're not going to forsake and forsake our brothers and sisters either. We're going to be checking on them. We're going to be wanting to worship and fellowship with them and want to be visiting. I think about all the opportunities we have to meet together. You know, it's just not an opportunity we have, you know, once a year in October on third weekend. I've been, you know, I have been exhorting and admonishing myself, you know, the church at Ephesus, I believe, y'all quote me, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they meet first, third Saturday night. I hadn't been there yet, but I plan on going. I believe Oak Grove also meets, as vice versa. Brother James could straighten that out for me. That's how bad I need to be better. I don't even know. I know first Sunday nights at Antioch we meet, and a lot of times we go up there and there's only a few brethren there. I mean, sometimes we have a good meeting, and I don't go up there as often as I would like to either, and I understand that you know, sometimes things get in the way. But isn't it wonderful we have all those opportunities throughout the year? And I exhort one another, let's go check on one another and visit one another more. If we're going to be in association, let's be in association. Let's be associated in Christ. Let's visit one another. Let's fellowship with one another, and let's love one another as Christ loved us. That's a good exhortation. That's a good encouragement. You know, when I think about these things, if we spend more time together, if we fellowship more together, and I tell you what, that doesn't just go for the mid-association. That goes for so many people were represented there today. I tell you what, I owe some visits to Texas and Arkansas and Georgia, and I don't know where all else, North Carolina. I know I feel a debt of love to go, because I want to go and be those and do those things. But if we're going to be associated together, we need to go see one another. We show our faith by our works. You know, that's what it says over in James. I tell you, my daddy always said, you know, it's one thing to say I love you. It's one thing to it's a better thing to show you that I love you. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He showed us he loved us by what he did, by his works. And that's how he tells us we're to love one another. Oh, I tell you what, brethren, we'll never live up to Jesus Christ, but that don't mean we ought to try. I tell you what, he's the mark, and we need to strive for that mark. And I encourage us all to strive for that mark, to love one another as Christ has loved us. And there's so many different ways that God has loved us, and Jesus Christ has showed his love to us, and I ain't even touched it. But I'm so thankful and grateful for all you brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, when I think about the exhortation, calling one another and fellowshipping one another, you know, isn't it wonderful to know you're not the only one? I think that was good news to Elijah when the Lord told him that I have reserved unto myself 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. I tell you what, that was good news to Elijah. You know what? Because now he knew God was with him, but it was nice to know his brothers and sisters were with him too. I tell you what, children of God, and wherever churches you represent here on this Zoom service tonight, I tell you what, I want you to know I love you, and I'm praying for you, and all the blessings that God has upon you. I pray that your ministers preach with power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the members love one another and are at peace with one another. I hope that they love one another and pray that they'll love one another as Christ loved us. I pray that our churches, that there might be a revival amongst our churches, and that the Lord would add unto the churches. If anybody's going to add unto it, it's going to have to be done by him. But I tell you what, until that time, even if he doesn't, I tell you what, I pray for the quality of your service. I pray for the love and the peace that surpasseth all knowledge for your churches. And brethren, I tell you, we need to do better about and rejoicing for one another and praying for one another and loving one another as Christ has loved us. Thank you for your good order attention. I think that's all I have on my heart tonight. And thank you, brethren.